Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Welcome to another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life one tale at a time. I like to think of this episode as a reflection on our mindset and a chance to reset if we need to. With that in mind, I've called this episode, Don't Let Woe Is Me Be You. No matter what anyone says, no matter how many times you wake up in the morning and do your mindfulness meditation or thoughts of gratitude, every day is not going to be a good day. Things happen. Yesterday's sunshine can run into today's thunderstorm. That's just the way life is. Every day isn't great. But, and here's the most important part, every day isn't bad either. In a prior podcast, episode 14, we discussed how it's your choices, not your circumstances, that are the determining factor in where you end up in life. Well, those choices aren't just limited to what we physically do. Or, maybe more accurately, our mental state is going to influence our physical state. In plain terms, if you're going to mentally wallow in your own pity, you'll find yourself there physically as well. Or, if you want to sound a little new age, if you go there in the mind, you'll go there in the body too. There are many stories about woe and misery spread throughout the world, but one of the most enjoyable, even though it's a cautionary tale, comes from Russia and found its way into English language printing over 120 years ago. It's titled Woe Bogatyr, or sometimes just Woe. In a small village, do not ask me where, in Russia anyway, there lived two brothers. One of them was rich, the other poor. The rich brother had good luck in everything he undertook, was always successful, and had profit out of every venture. The poor brother, in spite of all of his trouble and all of his work, had none whatever. The rich brother became still richer, moved into a large town, bought a big house, and was a merchant among merchants. The poor brother became very poor, so poor that very often there was no crust even in the izba, the peasant's log cabin, and the children, all forlorn, miserable little things, cried for food. The poor man lost patience and complained bitterly of his ill luck. He had no more courage, and his head dropped heavily on his breast. One day he decided to call upon his wealthy brother for aid. He went and said to him, "Be good, help me, for I am almost without strength." "Why not?" answered the rich man. "We can do such things as that. There is wealth enough. But look here, there is also plenty of work to be done. Stay around the house for a while and work for me." "All right," consented the poor fellow, and at once began to work. Now he was cleaning the big yard, now grooming horses, now bringing water from the well or splitting wood. 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed. The rich brother gave him 25 kopecks, which means only 13 cents. He also gave him a loaf of black rye bread. "Many thanks," said the poor brother humbly, and was ready to leave for his miserable home. Evidently, the conscience of the rich brother smote him, so he called his brother back. "Why so prompt?" he said. "Tomorrow is my birthday. Stay to the banquet with us." The poor fellow remained, but even on such a pleasant occasion, the unlucky one had no luck. His rich brother was too busy receiving his numerous friends and admirers, all of whom came to tell him how they loved him and what a good man he was. The rich merchant thanked his guest for their love, and bowing low, begged his dear guest to eat, drink, and enjoy themselves. There was no time left for the poor brother, and he was overlooked entirely while he sat timidly in a corner, quite forgotten and unnoticed. He had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. But when the crowd was ready to say goodbye, before going away, the bright, light-hearted guest bowed to their host and told him many lovely things, and the poor brother did exactly like them. He bowed even lower than they did and expressed more thanks than they. The guest went home singing in their new telegi, the peasants' carts. The poor brother, hungry and very sad, walked along in silence, and the idea came to his mind, "What if I also tried to sing a cheerful song? The people would believe that I, too, have had a pleasant time at my brother's house, and that I am going home happy like them." The good fellow began his song, began, and almost fainted away, for he heard quite distinctly someone behind his back keeping tune with him in a shrill voice. He stopped. The voice stopped, too. He sang, and the voice continued again. "Who is there? Come out at once!" shouted the poor man beside himself. Ha! The monster appeared, lank and yellow, almost a skeleton covered with rags. The poor fellow was afraid, but had the courage to make the sign of the cross and ask, "Who art thou?"
I am Bitter Woe. I am one of the Russian heroes, Woe Bogatyr. I pity all weak people. I pity thee too, and want to help thee along.
All right, Bitter Woe, let us walk together arm in arm. I presume there are no other friends for me in this world.
Let us ride, good man, laughed the monster. I will be thy faithful companion.
Thanks, but on what shall we ride?
I do not know on what thou shalt ride, but I shall ride on thee. And Woe jumped on the shoulders of the unlucky man.
The poor fellow had no strength to throw him off, so he crawled along his way, the long, hard way, with Woe on his shoulders. He could hardly walk, yet Woe was singing, whistling, and switching him all the time.
"Why so sad, master?" Woe would ask when the poor man sighed.
"Listen to me. I want to teach thee a song, my beloved little song. I am Woe the Brave, I am Woe the Bold. He who lives with me has his griefs controlled, and when money is lacking, I'll find him gold.
Attention, master, thou hast 25 kopecks. Let us go and buy some wine. Let us have a jolly good time."
The poor man obeyed. They went and spent all in drink. After this, the unlucky fellow with the faithful Woe on his shoulders came home. His wife was sad, his little children were hungry and in tears, but he, under the influence of Woe and wine, danced and sang. On the next day, Woe began to sigh and said, "I have a drunken headache, let us drink more."
"I have no money," answered the poor man.
"Hast thou forgotten my little song? Let us trade the harrow, the plow, the sledge, the telega for money, and let us have a good time."
"All right."
The poor, weak man had no courage to refuse, and Woe Bogatyr became his master and ruler. They went to a kabak and spent everything, drank, sang, and had a good time. On the next day, Woe sighed again and said to the peasant, "Let us drink, let us have a jolly time. Let us sell or trade everything left, even ourselves."
Then the fellow understood that his ruin was near and decided to deceive the sorrowful Woe. So he said,
"I once heard the old people say that behind the village, near the dark forest, there is buried a treasure. Yes, a great treasure. But it is buried under a large, heavy stone, too heavy a stone for one man to move. If we could only remove that stone, thou and I, Woe Bogatyr, could have a good time and plenty to drink."
"Let us hasten," screamed Woe. The bitter Woe was strong enough to do harder things than to move stones. They went a roundabout way behind the village and saw the great big stone, such a heavy stone that 5 or 6 strong peasants could never begin to move it. But our poor fellow, with his faithful Wo Bogatir, removed it at once. They looked inside. Under the stone there was a pit, a dark, deep pit. At the bottom of that pit, something was twinkling. The peasant said to Wo, "Thou bold Wo, jump in, throw the gold out to me and I will hold the stone." Wo jumped in and laughed out loud. "I declare, master," he screamed, "there is no end of gold. There are 20 and more pots filled with it." And Wo handed one pot to the poor man, who took the pot, hastily hid it under his blouse, and slipped the heavy stone into its place. So Bitter Wo remained in the deep pit, and the peasant thought to himself, "Now there is the right place for my comrade, for with such a friend, even gold would taste bitter." The crafty fellow made the sign of the cross and hurried home. He became quite a new man, courageous, sober, and industrious, bought a grove and some cattle, remodeled the izba, and even started a trade. And very successful he was, too. Within a year he earned much money, and in place of the old hut, built a fine new log cabin. One bright day he went into town to ask his rich brother, with his wife and children, to do him the favor of coming to a feast which was to be given in the new home. "That's a joke," exclaimed the rich brother, "without a ruble in thy pocket, stupid fellow? Thou evidently desirest to imitate rich people." And then the rich brother laughed and laughed at him. But at the same time he got very anxious to know how it was with his poor brother. So he went without delay to the new place. When he arrived there, he could not believe his eyes. His poor brother seemed to be quite rich, perhaps richer than himself. Everything bespoke wealth and care. The host treated his brother and the brother's family most kindly and was very hospitable. They had good things to eat and plenty of honey to drink, and all became talkative. The brother who had been poor related everything about Wo, how he decided to deceive him, and how, free from such a burden, he was getting to be a very happy man. The rich man grew eager and thought, "Is he a fool? Out of so many pots to take only one? Fool and nothing but fool. If one has money, even the bitter Wo is not too bad." So at once he decided to go in search of the stone, to remove it, to take the treasure, the whole treasure, and to send Wo Bogatir back to his brother. No sooner thought than done. The rich brother said goodbye and went away, but did not go to his wealthy home. No, he hurried to the stone. He had to toil hard with the heavy stone, but finally moved it just a little, and had not time to look inside when the hidden Bogatir had jumped out and onto his shoulders. The rich man felt a burden, oh, what a heavy burden, looked around and perceived the hideous monster. He heard this monster whisper in his ear, "Thou art bright, thou didst want to let me perish in that pit? Now, dearest, thou wilt not get rid of me, now we shall always be together." "Stupid Wo," began the rich man, "it was not I who hid thee under the stone, it was my brother, go to him." But no, Wo would not go. The monster laughed and laughed. All the same," he answered to the rich man. "Let us remain dear companions." The rich man went home under the heavy burden of the misery-giving Wo. His wealth was soon lost, but his brother, who knew how to get rid of Wo, was prosperous, and is prosperous to this day. It's a doozy of a story, and, like many cautionary tales, it doesn't have an all-around happy ending. But it's a fantastic tale for us to keep in mind for a lot of reasons. The most obvious is, of course, the dangers of excessive drinking. That's a no-brainer. But let's take one step farther back and look at where it started. There's no doubt that the poor brother had a pretty bad life, but he was getting by, even if barely. His ultimate downfall is when he allows himself to feel miserable about it by comparing himself to others who were better off. And that's the warning signal for us as well. Things may be bad, or even really bad, but it's only when we decide to make ourselves comfortable with our misery, put woe on our back, that we go down the path of no return. And then we get the real tale of woe in this story. The poor peasant gets so wrapped up in his feeling miserable that it consumes him and, literally, everything around him. His belongings and even his body were at risk from wallowing in his perpetual pity party. For many folks, they never pick themselves up. It's very hard to do, especially when always looking at others and comparing what you have or don't have with all they seem to have. But our peasant didn't. In a moment of clarity, he realized that his very life was at stake, and he wanted to do something about it. From that moment, any action is a positive one. Indeed, even before the peasant has claimed his money and reclaimed his life, woe has leaped from his shoulders. From here, it's simply a matter of continued hard work. The poor peasant, who has stopped feeling sorry for himself, who has left woe behind, becomes industrious, and in a short time has surpassed his rich brother. There was no magic spell being cast or a wicked spell being broken. The change was from within and wholly embraced. As for the rich brother, he welcomed woe into his life the same way his brother had, by feeling sorry for himself over things he didn't have. Which is a great reminder to us that even those who have a lot or seem to have it all can still let themselves fall prey to woe. As the saying goes, into every life a little rain must fall. The danger comes not in getting wet, but in looking at people who aren't wet and thinking you have no other option but to stay wet. You do. It always takes work to get out of a rut and moving forward. More work than it takes to get into that rut. But we're always better off at the end of the road than the beginning. And some roads aren't even worth going down. If your life is going well right now, keep pushing forward and don't let woe overtake you. If you're going through a rough time, I encourage you to push a little harder and be sure to take action, any action, and keep going. Let someone else carry woe. Your life will be better without it.